Pentecost is traditionally known as marking the birth of the church. And last week you heard from Father Don as we celebrated the Ascension, and in the Gospel we heard, and Father Don pointed out that the disciples received their marching orders from Jesus before he ascended into heaven. He told his apostles to go out to all the world and make disciples of all nations. I have to imagine the apostles there after Jesus ascended. He just had given them the marching orders. Or maybe even after Pentecost, what we celebrate today is the apostles are just looking at each other, kind of thinking and saying to one another, what are we supposed to do? Like, where do we start here? We call that period in the church, we call it the apostolic age. Where in an apostolic age, the culture does not know Christianity. And so you've got the apostles there, small in number. You got the 12. There's a small number of disciples, Christians that are there. But in the apostolic age, you don't have people going and knocking on the doors of the church. Well, certainly for the apostles in the apostolic age, there were no churches for them to walk on or to go up and walk up to. Their starting point for the apostles after Jesus ascended to heaven was essentially zero. They didn't have any experience of going, like any missionary experience. There were no churches. They had very little money. Oh, and by the way, the Roman Empire here soon is going to be looking for and searching and persecuting Christians, wanting Christians dead. So if you're a betting man or a woman on whether or not the apostles are going to succeed on this mission of making disciples of all nations, the safe bet is to put the money on them not succeeding. So as we begin to reopen the church, and if you saw what we put out yesterday of next weekend, being the first weekend, we'll begin this phasing open of the church. We've already opened up the churches for confessions, and next week for private prayer. As well as allowing 100 people into the churches. It's a reminder that, and it seems as if this Pentecost is another rebirth for the church, or at least a reminder that we're back in an apostolic age. For a long time, we were in what we would call another age in the church of Christendom, where Christianity was seen and looked upon favorably. Those days are long gone. We're back in an apostolic age where people are not looking and going around knocking on church doors to come in. Of course, we know there's been a steady decline, you know, in our nation of people not going to church. Catholics, we know that around 20% of Catholics come to Mass on Sunday. We know that we don't have that 20% of people who watch live stream Mass. We know the obligation to attend Sunday Mass, of course, is dispensed of right now. The dispensation to attend Sunday Mass will continue here for the foreseeable future, for good reason, for people that need to stay away, for health reasons, for people who are just, you know, who are concerned with fear. So it's good reason. You know, many of you will return back watching, but I wonder if even post, as the fear, even however long that is, even if it's a year out, of how many people will just, hey, you know, I kind of got used to not going to church on Sunday. I kind of got used to maybe watching it on TV, or maybe even not watching it, and I think maybe we'll just continue. It draws to mind what Pope Benedict said and written and wrote, is that the church is going to get smaller before it gets bigger. And the small numbers, the reality is we're going to be embarking now on a number of weeks of maybe 100 people into the church. And as we just got used to seeing nobody in the church, or maybe started to get used to it a little bit, as one of the production people here this morning said, now you're going to get used to seeing very little people spread out in the church. It'll be another thing getting used to. But that coupled with of the smaller numbers coupled with what we're seeing in the news right now. I mean, at one point, I think it was, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago, I went onto Twitter and I went on to just the things that were trending on Twitter. And it was the top 6-7 things, story after story of what was trending, what people were tweeting on. I mean, whether it was a woman in a wheelchair like stabbing people outside of a Target and then getting sprayed with a fire extinguisher, or you got people who are in New York, Central Park in New York, that are in an argument over a dog and she makes a racist comment, and then you go into Twitter and see the comments of these stories. Of course, we know with the things going on in Minnesota and the looting going on, the racism. You go in and then look at the comments of these things and the way people are talking, it's downright ugly. And so with the combination of the realization that the numbers are going to get smaller, at least what Pope Benedict says and is predicted in the church, before it gets bigger, and that coupled with just what's going out on the world right now, and as the churches reopen and reminder of back in the apostolic age, I find myself thinking similar to the apostles of like, where are we supposed to start? What are we supposed to do? Let me propose an answer to that question. I think maybe that Pentecost is suggesting and a reading suggesting today. I mentioned a number of times before that I've attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. now 3 or 4 times, and the March for Life in D.C. is where a few 100,000 high school students and college students and chaperones go and march in D.C. for the right for life and to end abortion, and oftentimes the first stop for these students is the Basilica in Washington, D.C., the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. If you're able to get a ticket, there's an opening mass before the next day when everyone marches. And the church is beautiful. The size alone, when you walk in, you're overtaken at 10,000 people being able to sit there. I think it has over 70 side altars in this church. It takes your breath away. And the last year that I went, our bus got there 8-9 hours before the starting of this mass. And for a good chunk of those 8 or 9 hours, I just sat in the back of the church, of the basilica there, and I watched as busloads after busloads of high school students and college students and chaperones got off the buses after they've spent hours, 10 hours, 15 hours on the bus traveling from all over the country. They're tired, they're exhausted, and they come up the stairs kind of drooping, tired, and then they walk into the doors of that church. And their reaction, as I sit there and just watch the reactions, oftentimes they walk in and it's just, wow. They experience the beauty. There's a 19th century Russian novelist, Dostoevsky, who once said, "Beauty will save the world." I think that's what the world needs right now. The world needs beauty. The three transcendentals of truth, goodness, and beauty. The secular age of which we live in now, modern man, it's wildly dismissive of those first two transcendentals of truth. Truth, we don't care about truth. The confusion today around what truth is, that it's relative, that what's true for you isn't true for me. Truth is just a subjective reality. There's not objective truth. We've rejected the ability to reason, to know truth. And the good, the culture doesn't care about what's good. There's moral upheaval today in our culture. So it doesn't seem that modern man is capable of allowing itself to be penetrated by goodness. Modern man is not able to allow itself to be penetrated by goodness, by truth. But beauty always gets in the heart. Even for modern man, when he or she is confronted with beauty, you can't defend against it. Beauty just moves the heart. And so I think our marching orders today of where to begin is to go and be beautiful. The way we act, the way we talk, we have got to live as Christians more beautifully. We can't act, we can't talk as the world does, of which is ugly. There is such a strong pull today to be ugly. The pull towards ugly is so strong. Talking ugly, acting ugly, whether that's racism, whether that's looting and rioting, there is ugly today, and the ugly is promoted, it's condoned. We don't get to the spot that we're in today without for a long time ugly being glorified. The ugly being glorified. What we celebrate, the things that we condone, the type of behaviors. Father Don, you know, I think it was a couple days ago, and just I reminded him of his comment this morning in the sacristy. We were talking about the news and what we saw this morning. Father Don had, you know, mentioned a couple of days ago, saying how this has always been the case of ugliness, if you will. The human condition, and what Father Don is saying there, is the human condition is prone to being ugly. Since the fall, we have a bent will, and we're prone to being ugly. But it almost seems different today with how we can just pull out a phone and you see the writing that's going on, and you just pull out your phone and you just record it, and then it's just at our fingertips. I mean, this morning I saw a story of a man. I'm not sure what he was doing before. I think supposedly he was defending off his store from looters and rioters, and he was defending off his store, and then all of a sudden you just see a mob of people coming upon this man, beating him to almost death. I don't know if he did die or not, but he's on the floor bleeding, and then as he is beat up, disfigured, someone takes his wallet and they leave. And then you go on the comments and read the comments, and people are making fun of it on Twitter, condoning it. He had it coming. It's ugly. The world is ugly. The way we act, the way we talk, that's why beauty is always powerful, and it's even more powerful in the face of ugly. And so that's why, in the face of all that, when the world sees somebody talking virtuously, it's beautiful. When the world sees somebody acting virtuously, it's beautiful. But the problem is that we're so used to ugly, talking, acting ugly, and seeing it glorified that we don't even know beauty anymore. Our culture has been desensitized to what is ugly, and we've been desensitized by beauty because we don't see it much. We've lost track of it. We've lost track of beauty. We've lost track of God. Because nothing is beauty like God is beauty. God is breathtakingly beautiful. As the apostles are in the upper room, we hear in our readings, we hear that, "And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." What happened that day with the apostles in that room is that beauty was unleashed upon them. With the reality of what happened with us as Christians in our baptism, the Spirit being poured into our hearts. And in confirmation and on this day, what the Spirit wants to do for us this day, the question to ask ourselves is, do our lives reflect the magnificent beauty of God? Paul in Galatians chapter 5, he lists the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He lists 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit: patience, love, kindness, joy, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Do we see those fruits of the Holy Spirit in our world right now? It's pretty safe to say it's no. We're not seeing that running around. The world needs to see beauty. It needs to see God in us. And so as this lockdown ends, as we begin to phase back into the world, whether that's church, whether that's work, whether that's going back to school in the fall, or maybe it's in the spring, when you go back to work, when you talk differently than your coworkers, when you choose not to gossip, when you choose to not go along and belittle other people behind their backs along with the coworkers, when your coworkers see that, they notice it and it's beautiful. Men, when men are together with other men, when you don't go along and have that locker room talk that oftentimes is the case when men gather together, of talking about other women in a degrading way, when you choose not to go along and talk that same way, the other men will notice. And when they notice, it's beautiful. Or when you go back to school, whether that be the fall or the spring, and when you don't act with the mob of other kids in the school that pick on other people, that call names, but maybe you stand up for them, your friends notice, other people in the school notice, and when they see it, it's beautiful. We tragically sound and act as Christians a lot of times a lot like the world. And there's not much of a difference the way we act than the way the world acts. That cannot be so. Jesus meets us this morning as he met those apostles in the room. And as Jesus gently meets them in that room, what does he do? He shows him his side. He shows him his wound. In a way we can say, him doing that, he shows them ugly. He shows them what ugly leads to, and it leads to, it's the result of sin, of death, of destruction. And he wants the apostles to see it, to know that what sin does, of how ugly it is, and the ugly consequences that it always brings about. But he doesn't leave them there. After showing him his size, he turns to them and he says, "Peace." And he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them. And as he breathes the Holy Spirit upon him, what he does is he unleashes beauty upon them. He restores them to life. And so with us, of what he wants to do with us, those us as humans who have a tendency to be ugly because we have a bent will, for us this morning to cry out to God on this Pentecost Sunday where he wants to send his Holy Spirit and fill us with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to turn to him and say, "Lord, make me beautiful so that the world can know you through my beauty." And so as our world just desperately needs to see beauty, it's right to say that beauty will indeed save the world. And as the churches reopen and their numbers, at least for restriction purposes, will be smaller, and then after the restrictions are are over, maybe even smaller as well, I think we will start to see a revival in the church. We need to see a revival in the church. And it will be by a small, faithful few who simply are determined to go out and be beautiful.